prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 6th December 2023. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. I'm going to bring up a guest in a minute and I'll explain to you in a minute who he is. And we're going to have a guest on the night that is running for something I hardly ever do. I'll explain to you in a minute what it is. Don't forget tomorrow. It's Thursday, and by the grace of God, we'll be in the office tomorrow from 9 to 4 Eastern to take phone calls. If you want to speak to me or speak to Crystal or somebody in the office here that you want to place an order or get an order filled, check on something. Tomorrow's your chance to call. We haven't got any special started for December yet, but that's okay. You know what we have here in the way of toothpaste, mouthwash, Strauss products. We have everything here, I think, that we've ever had, plus all the books and materials we offer are available right now, folks. Through this ministry, if you want to call tomorrow and talk to us at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. You can call and ask what you want, and I'll be leaving the office tomorrow by 2:00. I have a puppy I got to take to the vet. I had to make an appointment with this one, so I'll be leaving at 2:00 tomorrow, but I'll be in the office from 9 to 4. I'll be here 9 to 2. Crystal will be here at 4:00 to take care, answer questions for you and take care of anything you might have to have. And believe me, Crystal is more than capable of taking care of this place. So I believe I'm about to myself, but I'll be here at 2:00 to talk to you and look forward to it. Don't forget, we're going to have Bible study this weekend, God willing. We're going to have Bible study starting at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. We always do the first half hour with prayer requests and praise reports and testimonies. Now, folks, if you have a computer, you can join us really easily. I go on to PastorButch.com, PastorButch.com. Look right there in the middle of the page. It says Rumble. Great big letters, Rumble. Click on that, and there we are, live. You'll see a number on the screen. You can call and talk to us and share your thoughts with us and ask questions. From 10:30 to 11, we have the prayer request time. 11:30 to 12:30, it's Christian Worldview News, where I cover current events according to prophecy. And it's always something that I think is very important because most pastors don't do it. And then from 1 to 2, we're going to have always a Bible study. This time, our producer, Phil Hudock, has put together some videos he thinks are very important for this time. So we're going to do that Saturday, around 10:30 a.m. Go to PastorBush.com, click on Rumble, and there will be. Or call 339-209-5013. 339-209-5013 to join us, and I hope you will, folks. That's why we do it live. That's why we do this and go on Rumble. And we're still working. I'm dragging my feet some of this, to be quite honest with you. If people want us to do the radio broadcast on camera, we have this stuff here basically to do. I got the screen installed, the camera set up, and a few other things. I'm dragging my feet on it because I don't particularly want to go on camera with the radio shows. I don't understand why anybody wants to see somebody sitting there with a set of headsets talking to a microphone. And I guess you'll be able to hear the guests, too, as you, normal. But I don't understand how that's going to work, to make people want to. Yeah, I don't get it. I've done radio almost 31 years. I don't understand all this about the video stuff. But we'll see what that's going to bring in the very near future. The equipment's here, like I said. I could get Barry, our webmaster and engineer, to come down and set it up for us. And we'll see what happens after that. We're doing our best that we can keep up with modern times, folks. But I come from 1948 vintage. So I'm not the quickest on the draw on that kind of stuff. Now, tonight's guest is a very unusual guest on Call to Decision Ministries. This gentleman's run for U.S. Congress from right here in West Virginia. Now, as you know, folks, I very seldom have politicians on this program. I'm not going to call him a politician. I think he'd be more of a statesman, but if he wasn't, I wouldn't have him on the program. I don't have much to do with politicians. And if I didn't believe the man has some good heart and good ideas, and I think he's sincere, I would not have him on the broadcast either. He's not a trained politician. He's been with the House of Delegates here in this state for a while now, but this man has some principles that I think he'll stand on and stand by. As he and I discussed before the program, this nation cannot be turned around by any politician until the nation repents. But folks, repentance has got to start inside us, each one of us. And this gentleman, by the name of Derek Evans, is running, trying, by the grace of God, maybe to get involved and change some things in this country for God's glory. It's not for me and you. It's not for himself. It's for the glory of God. This man is a felon. I'll tell you about that in a minute also. He's got some courage. He's not afraid to stand and speak up. Let's bring up our guest, Derek Evans. Derek, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Pastor.
Oh, you're more than welcome, sir. Much more than welcome. As I said before, this is a very, very unusual thing for me because I have very little use for politicians. I'm quite honest with you. I've dealt with too many of them. I've been lied to, led on by lots of them. I'm sure you have too. As young as you are, I'm sure you have too. And in Charleston, West Virginia, and Washington, D.C., it's a political game, is it not?
That it is. And you know what they say, the best way you can tell if a politician is lying is if their mouth is moving.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Before we get into what you're doing and how you got in trouble and become a felon, tell the folks who Derek Evans is and just give us a background on what you do, what you've done, and why did you decide to take a run for national office?
Yeah, so I'm married to my college sweetheart. We've been together for about 15 years now, and the Lord has blessed us with four beautiful children. I have two girls, ages 7 and 6, and then two boys, ages 4 and 2. And, you know, I went to college. I played football and ran track, and my wife played volleyball, and, you know, that's kind of how we met. And then I graduated, came back home to Wayne County, West Virginia, and got into education and was a teacher for about 4 years. And, you know, I just did not like the direction I saw our education system going in terms of just the liberal indoctrination. And I'm not someone who can keep my mouth shut. And it was just, I was very frustrated. And I'd already always had a passion for real estate, and the Lord opened up an opportunity, and so I was able to step away from teaching and step into real estate, and that's kind of what I do now. We flip homes, own rental property, and manage the properties we own, all those things. My wife is a nurse, and you know, in 2020, I ran for the West Virginia State House, the House of Delegates, as we call them here, and other states, most other states call it a state rep, and I won my election in a landslide. I was the first Republican to win my district in over 98 years, and but that joy was short-lived, as you know, I ended up going to the Capitol on January 6th to peacefully and patriotically protest. And
before we go to that, very quick question,
yeah.
Derek, please.
Yeah.
You got discussed with the school system very quickly. What did you see in
yep.
there that made you want to vomit and leave?
Well, there's a lot there. Even just all the bureaucracy, number one, that comes with all that. There's not really any, it's not for the children, to be honest with you. And I don't call them public schools anymore. These are government schools. The
yes.
biggest issue I saw was just the mindset of the universities. It really starts in the colleges and universities. The colleges and universities are brainwashing future educators into believing that it's their role as a teacher to basically co-parent with the children, and that they've converted these educators into social justice warriors, where now they think it's their job and their role to talk to these children about whether it's about being transgender or being gay or being whatever it is. And I don't believe that's the role of the government. I don't believe it's the role of educators. I believe they should be teaching reading, math, science, English, and that's it. I don't think they should be using these schools as a place to raise the next generation of social justice warriors.
Well, obviously, you've seen the fact, of course, that to teach them sexual perversion is a key factor now. And education, I mean, real education, as you mentioned, math and reading and writing, all these things are no longer are no longer necessary in the schools. As a matter of fact, they're cutting back on the criteria of that every day. They're lowering their standards every day because the children simply can't get beyond probably third grade levels at high school because they're no longer taught these things. So you saw something happening inside these, I call them public fool zones, that's destroying our children and undermining our society. Then that's why you left.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't take it. I mean, I spoke out quite often about all of this. I still do, for that matter. And, it's really unfortunate what is going on. And I'll say this, COVID was the whole situation with the COVID tyranny was absolutely unjust. And I was very vocal and stood up against that from day one. But one of the good things that came out of that was a lot of parents, when these children started being doing the virtual school from home and the parents were home, they started listening in and hearing what was going on in these classrooms. It opened the eyes of many Christian parents across this country. And that's basically what I had seen a few years prior on a much smaller scale.
That is absolutely true. And just curiosity, do you have any idea how many people in the state now homeschool since all this happened?
I don't know the numbers. I know that homeschool, we've always per capita had a very large homeschool population due to West Virginia being one of the few states that does not offer religious exemptions from vaccines. And so we've already had a big pocket of that. And then with the passing of the West Virginia Hope Scholarship, which is basically allows, if you want to homeschool your children, the state funding that's earmarked for that child, you as a parent receive that and can use that for to pay for homeschooling services. Or if you want to send them to a private school, that'll go towards their tuition. So I live right on the Kentucky border. My children go to a private Christian school in Kentucky, and we do that via the West Virginia Hope Scholarship.
Well, that's only fair. That's one of the reasons why I despise property taxes anyway, because you never own anything. Your house is never yours. And besides that, they take that money that I pay in that and support something that I definitely do not believe in, nor do I want to support in any way. That's just the way it is. So thank God you saw that. You took a stand, got out of it, and tried to make a difference in Charleston at the Capitol. So what did you see change in Charleston under your tenure?
Well, what you see in Charleston, man, people, and this is not just unique to Charleston, West Virginia, which to anyone who's not from our state, that's our state capital. We all talk about draining the swamp in D.C., but people need to understand that you have your own swamp right there in your backyard in your own state.
True.
It is the same exact thing, the same unethical, just nastiness of politics that takes place in D.C. that we all see. The same things are happening at your state level, for sure. And a lot of these places, it's probably happened at their county level as well. But, I mean, that's a little bit, dependent upon where you live. But it's 100% happening in every state. Just overall, people selling out to the lobbyists and, people playing both sides of the fence. And they'll make these massive bills and want to vote for it and then say, well, I didn't vote for the bill because of this issue. I'm voting for it on that issue. What does it matter? You still voted for it. And so I've always taken a stance of there's a couple things. If it goes against my Christian morals and my Christian values, I don't care how good the bill sounds or what it does, I'm not going to vote for it. And then if it goes against the Constitution, I don't care how good it sounds, I'm not voting for it. And those are the two hills I'm willing to die on.
And you have seen, you're a young man, and you've seen your lifetime, this state makes some of a decent turn in the right direction on some issues, including gun rights. But anyway, Moving on now, you got out of the school, out of the education program because you saw what's happening, started in the real estate business. Obviously, you've done okay with that. You may live in that now. For how long?
I've been doing that since about 2016, somewhere in that range, about 7 years now. I've been doing real estate. I absolutely love it. It's such a blessing in so many ways. So my wife, as I said earlier, she's a nurse. She works 7 days on, 7 days off, and you know, her shifts are 12-hour shifts. And so the weeks that she's on, you know, for lack of better words, I'm almost like a single father, but you know, because she's gone 12 hours out of the day. So I'm the one who, you know, take my kids to school, pick them up, take them to soccer, basketball, whatever, gymnastics. And having that flexibility in our business allows me to do those things. And then, you know, so I basically on the 7 days that she's on, I primarily only answer or only really handle emergency calls if we have anything that pops up with one of our current rentals or something on a job site. Other than that, I'm really on the 7 days that she's off, that's when I'm like, you know, putting in the hours and really putting in most of the time in terms of actually still continuing to grow the business. And so don't get me wrong, there's certain times, you know, I'll take the kids with me to go to Lowe's or Home Depot or something to pick up materials. But by and large, I don't do nearly as much on her week on as I do her week off of work. So it gives us the flexibility, and we're truly blessed.
Okay, great, great. And you, of course, went to D.C. on January 6th, and yep. We know what happened there. Now, I'll be quite honest with you. I told the folks on my radio show that's a trap. You don't want to go there. I didn't say that. And I'm not the kind of guy that makes predictions like that unless I have something that I'm pretty solid on. And it did turn out to be a trap for a lot of people. And you're one of the ones that was snared. Last night I had a guest on him named Jake Lang, who's facing 20 years in jail. He appealed his case to the Supreme Court, which is supposed to be heard, I think, Friday, whether they're going to take the court case or not. The man had been in prison for 3 years, missed 3 years of Thanksgiving with his family. And he's not the only one. There's hundreds of them there. But so you're a living witness to what happened there. What did happen there?
Yeah, so, you know, I want to be very clear. I was not violent or destructive at all that day. I didn't see any violence or destruction. For anybody who's never been there, this building is huge. It's massive. I was on the east side of the building. And so everything you've seen on the news surrounding January 6th in terms of, you know, the quote-unquote violence and destruction, all of that was not only on the west side of the building, it was primarily focused on the west tunnel area. And so to get from where I was at to where that was taking place was over a half a mile walk. So I had no clue any of those things were taking place that day. So for me, look, there was a street preacher there. People were singing gospel songs. I pushed around a veteran in a wheelchair for part of the day. I mean, it was just by and large a very peaceful event. It was the most patriotic day of my life. I found myself outside the East Columbus doors as they began to open, and I walked through an open set of doors. I immediately went over. It's all on video. People can watch it. It's pinned to the top of all my social media feeds. I immediately saw a police officer over to my right, and so I walked over to the police officer. I said, "God bless you, sir. Thank you for your service. Really appreciate you. You know, this is nobody means any harm or anything." He gives me a friendly fist bump, inviting me into the building, and so I walked on in, spent less than 10 minutes inside the public rotunda area, didn't go into any private areas or anything like that, just stayed right there in the public rotunda area, thanked the police officer again, and walked back out the same set of doors I entered. And ultimately, long story short, I found myself, the weaponized deep state that's going after President Trump, that came to my house, ripped me away from my wife and children, held me hostage, threw me in prison as a political prisoner. I was facing 24 years in prison for peacefully protesting in our nation's capital.
And what was the reason they arrested you? What was the charge?
So for me, it was I had a very, even for January 6th, it was unique because I was arrested on January 8th, 2 days after January 6th, because I was the only elected Republican that they could get their hands on at the time. There was only two of us elected Republicans in the entire country, had the courage to protest and got arrested. And so they originally charged me with two misdemeanors, like basically trespassing and disorderly conduct. Then they added two more misdemeanors, which are the same charges, just worded a little bit differently, but it's literally just trespassing and disorderly conduct. And then after that, they offered me a plea deal of choose your misdemeanor, we'll drop the other charges. Then they came back and withdrew that plea offer and hit me with the 1512 obstruction of official proceeding, which is a 20-year felony, and that's the exact charge that that is going to be going before the Supreme Court, hopefully here in the next within the next week or whatever, and we'll hear some rulings on that. But that's the one, and it doesn't even make sense. It's all about tampering with a witness that has nothing to do with January 6th, but they use that because it's a 20-year felony, and they use that to hold it over the heads of the January 6th political prisoners while they financially drain them through lawfare.
And so you had the video of you walking in the nation's capital with the friendly terms of the police officer. That's on video. And you leave in the place. So how did they charge you with anything that you broke the law with?
Yeah, and not only that, I'm also heard on video multiple times reminding people to don't be violent, don't destroy anything, no destruction of property. These are artifacts, and nobody was doing those things. But I was just very aware of, and wanted people to remind people. And so I'm heard on video doing that as well. And the answer to your question is it's because this corrupt government is just doing whatever they want to do right now. In my opinion, what they're doing first it was the January 6th political prisoners such as myself. And now, and it's not even President Trump they're going after. They're going after pro-life sidewalk advocates. They're going after parents who speak out at school board meetings, the guy who made the memes on social media. And if they get away with all of that, they're going to turn around and they're going to go after every single Christian in this country. That's really what I believe their end game is going to be.
So what do you think the outcome is going to be here? I mean, what's going to happen with your charges now? I mean, what's your gut feeling on that?
I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. It doesn't really help me. I've already served my prison time. I've already, did my time and came home, but I'm still very hopeful and praying for a positive outcome because there's still a lot of people who are still, they're still arresting people every single week right now for January 6th. I don't think most people realize that, but they're still arresting people every week right now on these nonviolent charges surrounding January 6th. They're rolling into communities with military tanks, knocking down doors, flashbanging innocent families, holding women and children at gunpoint, all to go in and get some 70-year-old grandma who walked into the Capitol on January 6th 3 years prior. This is absolute insanity what's going on in our country right now. I believe this is the biggest human rights violation of our generation.
So the only thing you can hope for then, since your term is up, you can hope you have to get the charges dropped in.
Yeah, I mean, and plus just, it would change things in terms of public perception. It would be a big moral victory, if you will. But ultimately, I had an 18-month legal battle. And like I said, they financially drain you and bankrupt you. I did 3 months in federal prison in Michigan. And then I did 8 days of solitary confinement because I refused the COVID vaccine while they were holding me hostage.
Well, now, you're a felon. Am I right on that? You're a felon.
That is correct.
So you cannot legally.
And according to the government, I'm a domestic terrorist. Literally, I guess that's not hyperbole. They've labeled everyone involved in January 6th. Well, not just January 6th. They've labeled everybody that considers themselves MAGA as domestic terrorists. There's a report that recently came out where the FBI requested a list of every single person who followed and engaged with President Trump on Twitter and wanted to put them on a list. And so I'm literally labeled as a domestic terrorist, and when I fly, I'm on the Quad S Quiet Skies list, which is intended for international people who are on the international terrorist watch list, and the way I'm treated at the airport is just absolutely unbelievable.
Even if you fly domestically?
Yep, flying domestically.
They put you through a pretty good rigmarole, I guess.
Without a doubt, and it's not just me. There's many others, and it's not even just people involved in January 6th. Even like I said, parents speak out at school board meetings, the whole nine yards. They have labeled all conservatives at this point. They're labeling everybody as domestic terrorists. Literally, it's not hyperbole or an exaggeration. And then they use the counterterrorism unit, the CTU in D.C., to track you and to keep up with you, your movements and everything. And that's the way that they use their excuse to spy on American citizens.
So now you're running for national office.
Yes, sir. Yep.
You're a glutton for punishment, aren't you? A glutton for punishment. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I got out of prison around this time last year. I got out at the end of October of last year, 2022. And, you know, I did a lot of prayer and a lot of thought and a lot of thinking about everything. And I was like, you know what? Instead of running for my old seat in the state house, I'm going to run for U.S. Congress because I'm going to take this battle to their front door the same way they brought it to mine. I'm not running to make friends. I'm not running to go up there to play patty cake politics. I'm running to go kick in the front door and expose the corruption in D.C.
Boy, I tell you what, you said a mouthful. And you're 38 years old, a young man, and you're committing yourself to something like this, and I got to ask you, how are you going to afford this?
Well, you know, I'm very blessed and fortunate. Once again, the American people have just been absolutely amazing. I'm not backed by special interest groups. I'm not backed by Big Pharma or the military-industrial complex. Backed by the American people. We've had over 4,000 American patriots across this country who have contributed our campaign. We've raised well over $200,000 at this point. We're still rocking and rolling in terms of that, raising money every single day. And it's all from American patriots, you know, chipping in 10, 15, 20. And I think our average donation is $50 over with around 4,000 donations. It's absolutely incredible. And so that's what it is. I tell everyone, this is not my campaign. This is our campaign. Anyone out there who's frustrated right now with the Uniparty and this globalist takeover of our country, and you're sick of the and for my situation, anyways, you're sick of the do nothing Republicans who don't have the courage to stand up and fight back against the everything we find ourselves living under right now, the tyranny. What better way to send a message than to donate and contribute, volunteer, whatever, and help elect a former January 6th political prisoner into Congress? You talk about sending a message to the D.C. elite. That would send a message.
Well, I tell you what, I believe you have a chance, no doubt. It's going to be an uphill battle, brother. It really is. You're going to face a lot of opposition from the other side. So far, you're running by yourself in the primary, right?
Well, our current congresswoman is Carol Miller. She is not officially committed either way, as to my knowledge anyway, that she's whether she's going to run or not. This is a red district. Whoever wins a Republican primary will win the general election. The good news is there was a poll by WV Statewide, West Virginia Statewide Media Group, and they called and did a big poll. This came out in October. And even with Carol Miller, me against her, we're polling. We have not spent a single dollar in our campaign, and we're polling at 45% right now against the six-year Rhino incumbent. This makes it the closest race in the entire country for someone challenging an incumbent in the primary. And so we're just, once again, it's amazing how all this has fallen into place.
Wow. So why did we're going to go to break here in just about 1 minute. We'll go to break. After the break, I'm going to ask you some pointed questions on what you believe, what you're going to stand for, and what you want to compromise on. I mean, I'm going to ask straight questions of this. I know I'll get them straight answers. And, folks, if you're from West Virginia, or you're not from West Virginia, but if you want somebody in Congress that's going to be on your side on a national level, I don't care whether you're from Michigan or Florida or Oregon, Congress makes a difference in your lives, whether you like it or not. This bank made a difference in a lot of people's lives. If he stands where he says he's going to, and I believe he will. Back at the break, don't go away.
And on the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the man of foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the man a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention that Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is war. On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks, we're back again. We're talking to Derek Evans, a candidate for U.S. Congress here in West Virginia, a felon, because he went to the J6 protest, if you will, trying to make a statement, and he's paid the price for it, as many others have. And he's taking a stand now, decided he's going to try to change this thing by going into the cesspool and hopefully doing something different. And if I did not believe he was telling me the truth on this, he would not be on the broadcast tonight. Now, if you have any questions for him tonight, folks, I don't care where you're from. Even if you're out of country, I don't care. You have a pointed question. I don't believe he's going to shy away from it. Any question you may have for Derek, call him right now at 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. I was talking to him during the break. He's a young man. I admire his willingness to stand up and try to do something. I don't believe that we can do it from the inside out in this country as far as politics go. But a man of Christian character in office certainly cannot hurt the cause. Understand that. He cannot hurt the cause. Now, if you read your Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 17, you'll find out we're told who to vote for. It's in the Bible. It is in the Bible. God said, if he's not one of your brethren, don't support him. He said, choose me, one of your brethren. I got to tell you right now, I don't know of anybody running for office on any level, especially on national level, that I would call a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. I don't know of any right now. Maybe I'm wrong, but I haven't seen any yet. So I take it very seriously when I'm told who I should select as a leader. And I'm going to try to support Derek because I believe he is a born-again believer. I think his heart's in the right place. And I pray that when if he's, by the grace of God, elected to office, that he has the backbone to stand. And I think he will, or he will not be on here. Now, the folks, lines open for direct questions at 844-769-2944. All right, Derek, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
What are you going to do? I know West Virginia, by the grace of God, has all but completely outlawed the murder of all unborn babies. How far are you willing to go to stop murdering babies?
Well, life begins at conception. Abortion is murder, and that's not just biblical Christian beliefs. Science literally backs that up. And so I will be more than willing to propose federal legislation that would ban abortion across this country. I think it's one of the greatest miscarriages of justice that our country's ever allowed to happen. And then on top of that, if we can't get that passed, I think we need to do some things that defunds it, these murdering mills such as Planned Parenthood and all these places that are using, currently getting taxpayer dollars, and even if they're not directly paying for the abortion, they are still indirectly propping up these abortion clinics. And so we got to defund those as well. But I would love to absolutely outlaw and make it illegal.
And along with the outlawing of this, there has to be some kind of punishment. Would you agree that
it's murder?
It is murder. And the murder, according to the Bible, murder is put to death. But I know that's not going to happen in this country. But they at least deserve some jail time, don't they?
Absolutely. And loss of medical license and everything else involved with that, absolutely, they should. And, you know, look, this is something, I'm not just saying this, something I'm very passionate about. Before West Virginia outlawed it here, it's one of the things that got me into politics and got me to run for the state house in 2020. I used to stand outside the abortion clinic in Charleston, West Virginia, the only abortion clinic in our state, and offer women other options. And I had a pretty good following on social media at the time. I had around 70,000 followers on Facebook before they deplatformed me. And when a mother chose life, we would get them. It wasn't just me. It was me at first. God called me to do it. That's a whole other story. And then God sent other people. And, you know, there would sometimes be 40, 50 people standing there. Sometimes it was four or five. But when these women chose life, we would get them set up on a online registry where people from all over the country would purchase gifts, and we would throw this woman a baby shower. If they chose life and wanted to put the baby up for adoption, which did happen three or four times that I can think of, I had attorneys here in West Virginia who handled all of the paperwork pro bono, no cost to anyone, and we connected them with local families who could, you know, wanted to adopt babies for whatever reason. There's two that I still actually see from time to time today, and then we would throw that family and the adopting family a baby shower the same way we did that. And so we were trying to get the heartbeat bill passed here in West Virginia, could not get them to move the bill, and that's ultimately one of the reasons I decided to run for the state house in 2020 when I won that race. And on my billboards, on my literature, everything that I put on there, my slogan was fighting for Christian values. So this is something that's I'm very passionate about.
So I was expecting no compromise out of you on that.
No compromise whatsoever. I will never compromise anything that goes against my religious beliefs or the Constitution.
Okay. Another one, we have mass shootings all over the country. Don't you think taking away people's ability to own guns will stop this?
No, I'm a Second Amendment absolutist. It says shall not be infringed, and that's it. It says shall not be infringed unless, and then list a bunch of things. Our founding fathers did not write the Second Amendment because they just came back from a hunting trip. They wrote the Second Amendment not because the deer were going to invade. They wrote the Second Amendment so we can protect ourselves from the corrupt government and the tyranny that we find ourselves living under today. So I support the Second Amendment as it is written. No compromise.
Period.
Period.
No questions asked and none.
Put it this way, one of the first things I'm going to do is propose to not just defund, but abolish the unconstitutional ATF. Every single gun law in existence is unconstitutional, according to the Second Amendment. So that's where I stand on it. No compromise.
All right. I like that. I really do like that. I mean that. So we're seeing, folks, you're hearing a man, I think, telling us straight up and down like it is. We're going to take a phone call just a minute, I promise. 844 769-2944. And now we're seeing all over the country and some kickback, thank God for this, but also a lot more gaining on the LGBTQ, ABCDFG movement that's perverting our children everywhere in this country. And I, for one, am sick and tired of this. I mean, it's been crammed down my throat, and I don't apologize for saying this. Homosexuals should be put in prison at the very least. At the very least, put in prison. Transgender should be put in prison. Any man who tries to molest children by being dressed like a woman should be put in prison. I have no remorse at all in saying this. What's your stand on this sexual deviancy things that's being allowed, even in the public schools here in West Virginia?
Well, it's absolutely disgusting, and these people should be thrown in prison for preying on our children. This cult of transgenderism has taken a hold on our entire culture. It's in our children's books. It's in their movies, their TV shows. It's in the songs. It's in everything. And these people are absolute predators. They need to be held accountable for it. It should be illegal. If your parent takes their child to watch a grown man dressed as a woman dance around half naked, I'm sorry, but there needs to be some punishment there. The same as, you know, like if I took my child to a strip club right now, even just so, you know, if I took my little boy to go watch real women do that, I would be arrested, as I should be. So there's absolutely no difference in doing it when it's a man pretending to be a woman. This is absolutely despicable.
It's even
absolutely
worse.
Appalling.
It's even worse. That's against nature. It's even worse.
But I'll tell you what, Pastor, it's not even just that. It's just the sexualization in general in our culture. You know, when I was growing up, you know, when I was a little boy, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, if you wanted to watch something like that on TV, you had to wait till your parents went to bed and go and sneak and watch HBO, and it still wasn't anything like you see on daytime television today. I think it's appalling. You know, look, there was a movement in the 90s, and they actually did away with it to where they had to stop advertising cigarettes to all these children.
Oh, yes.
Well, I think it needs to be the same way in terms of sexualization. I shouldn't be driving down the road and seeing half-naked men and women on billboards that children can see. I shouldn't be watching my children's TV shows and a commercial comes up with half-naked women and men on there, whether they're straight or gay or transgender or whatever, all of that. The sexualization in general that is being pushed on our children is absolutely ridiculous, and it needs to be stopped.
I totally agree with that. One thing I will mention to you that you might want to consider, don't use the word gay to describe perverts, please. I'm a gay man, but I'm not a pervert.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the word gay in the original dictionary, it has nothing to do with being a sexual deviant. Nothing. Nothing. So just be careful with that, because some people like myself, it makes us uncomfortable. It's like calling murder abortion. Abortion sounds better, so that's why we use it. That's why they soften the blow.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. That's a great point. Sensitizing people to the truth.
It is. That's exactly right. So if you can in the future, if you use the right word, I think more people would appreciate it. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Dino in Wisconsin. Dino, come on in. Welcome.
Yeah, hi. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I've been calling into this show for about 20 years. I have a lot of comments tonight. This is a very good discussion to have tonight. And you're running for in West Virginia, sir?
Yes, sir.
Right? So what is your name? I didn't have very good reception.
It's Derek, D-E-R-R-I-C-K, and my last name is Evans, E-V-A-N-S. And my website is Evans, E-V-A-N-S, for WV, as in West Virginia, .com. Evans for WV.
Wait, I gotta write this down. I gotta get a pen on here. I'm halfway between Green Bay and Milwaukee. How do you spell your name again, your first and last name?
Derek, D-E. R-R-I-C-K.
Barry?
Derek.
Derek.
Derek. D like in Delta. D-E-R-R-I-C-K. D-E-R-R-I-C-K. Derek.
E-E-R-R-Y?
No. D. D-E-R-R-I-C-K.
I. Oh, Derek. Okay.
There you go. Yes.
I've heard you before. Yes. Got Derek. What's your last name?
Evans. E as in Edward.
Okay, I've heard of you. Sorry for the mix up. I've heard of you before, Derek Evans. Yeah, you're in West Virginia. Wow.
Yep.
Unbelievable. And because the Supreme Court. Now, get a load of this. In 1963, the Supreme Court banned prayer. In 1973, they allowed abortion. There were three more 10-year intervals, Derek and Butch. Then in 2016, the Supreme Court legalized homosexual marriages. You know that, right?
That's true.
I call them the soupy cream, the cult.
Yeah.
That's a little joke for you folks out there. Soupy cream, the cult of the Supreme Court. Because you know that the grand old party, right? Republicans?
Yep.
I'm with the third party. Think you are too, Butch, with the Constitution Party.
I am. Yep, I am. That's who the
Log Cabin Club is in the Republican Party. Even though the word, it doesn't mean the word G-A-Y, could be called the Gay Old Party or the Grand Old Party, because the Log Cabin Club is part of the Republican Party for decades.
It has been. It's a perverted bunch. Yes, it is.
Derek, how long have you been running for these offices?
Well, I announced on January 6th of last year. I thought it was a perfect day to do it. I announced I was running for Congress, and you know, we just been doing the tour, and not just running for Congress. I travel all over the country, speaking out, sharing my story about January 6th and answering questions about the weaponization of government and such. And so the last year has been very, very busy, to say the least.
Okay.
Wow, you must be able to afford the gas, friend.
Yeah, when
I get invited to go speak at these places, they cover all my expenses and bring me there to come and speak. So it's all covered, thankfully, because I'm bankrupt at this point from all the legal battles we had.
All right, Dino, I hate to jump, but good call and good comments. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Let's go next to Gene in Ohio. Gene, come on in. Welcome.
Hello, Pastor Butch and
yes, sir.
Derek. My question has to do with the mandates this president continues to use to circumnavigate a lot of the processes that would necessary be to make laws, like in, for example, COVID. And the other issue, I think, is he continues to reference people as terrorists. Our mothers who want better schooling and go there, when in fact it's him that worldwide we have lost our allies and emboldened our enemies. It seems like Washington, D.C. is where the trouble comes from,
Amen.
And yet they can't
Amen.
See it. I'd like for Derek to expand on his thoughts on these mandates and whether or not there should be a certain amount and they should be overseen by a panel of people there in Washington. Thank you. I'll listen
off
air. All right,
good comment. Thanks, Gene. Go ahead, Derek.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for the question, Gene. Appreciate it, man. And to be honest with you, I don't think a panel solves the issue. I don't think there should be any mandates because it's unconstitutional. You can't just wave your fingers in the air and create law. We have processes here. And so the bill needs to go through the House and go through the Senate and then be signed in a certain time frame to become a law. So I think we need to get back to following the Constitution. And that's at the federal level. And we had a lot of governors who did the same thing across this country who declared themselves king and started passing these unconstitutional edicts and mandates. whether that's COVID or anything else. And I don't believe in getting rid of the Constitution, even under a quote-unquote emergency. If we allow this government to use an emergency to circumvent the Constitution, then they will just continue to create emergency situations to give them an excuse to do so. So I think that we need to get back to the Constitution. And quite frankly, anybody who's doing those things unconstitutionally should be removed from office for not following their oath of office. As far as the terrorist goes, look, this government has literally labeled myself as a terrorist, so I know firsthand what that's like. I think it's one of the biggest issues in this country right now, and one of the reasons I decided to run for Congress, because no one there right now understands what it's like to go through this on a personal level, and I want to bring my unique experiences to that. We've got to get rid of, starting with the Patriot Act, the unconstitutional Patriot Act that was formed in the early 2000s there to illegally spy on American citizens. And then we've got to stop giving out funding based on these quotas. So we've had some FBI whistleblowers who've spoken out and said that, in a nutshell, when they label me as a terrorist, or the parents who speak out of school board, as you mentioned, as a terrorist, when they label them as a terrorist and then they go raid their home and arrest them, on paper it says that they arrested a terrorist because they labeled them as such. So now they go to Congress and say, hey, you gave us this much money and we arrested this many terrorists. We need more money because there's more terrorists out there. And so they just keep adding people to that list. I don't think that's the way that they should be ran. And so I think that's where we really stop doing that. Ultimately, we've got to get rid of these three-letter agencies that are unconstitutional, and they are allowing these unelected bureaucrats to run our country behind the scenes. We've got to get the power back to the states, back to the local communities, back to you and me and we the people.
Good answer. All right, let's go to Nebraska. Let's talk to Jake. Jake, welcome.
I hope you win the election, Derek Evans. I have one item for long-term on your agenda that the Bible does not say that we need to put people in prison. So that's not the Christian procedure or method for punishment. But I don't expect anybody to do anything about it right away, but this would be kind of a long-term thing. Thank you. Well, goodbye.
I got a comment, Jake. You're right, because in the Bible times, if they broke the law, they were put to death. And if they ran and didn't pay the fine, they were put to death. They didn't need prisons. You're right. Exactly right.
There was restitution, too. Yeah, if they didn't have the money to pay the restitution, if they didn't have the money to pay the restitution, then they could be sold into slavery money to pay the restitution.
Very true. Good point. Go ahead.
Well, Jake from Nebraska, thank you for calling in, man. Appreciate it. And to your point, as someone who went to prison, you know, for January 6th, and I've got a very unique experience and viewpoint on our criminal justice system, I don't know if reform would even fix the situation. Our system is so broken right now, it probably needs to be abolished and rebuilt from the ground up because it's just so out of whack, man. We live in a country right now where you are guilty until proven innocent in the eyes of the court and the jury and everyone else. It's absolutely sad. And then to your point, to be honest with you, man, I'll tell you, I thought when I went to prison, and I was a big fan of 60 Days In and all those shows, so I watched a lot of this stuff, and I went in there with the mindset as I was going on a mission trip. I wasn't going to let the government steal 3 months of my life away from me. I was going to go in there and make the most of it, if you will. But what I was shocked, man, I thought I was going to meet a bunch of people who claimed that they were innocent and were wrongfully, you know, convicted and locked up. What I met were a bunch of people who, just like me, is different charges, but just like myself, found themselves under the thumb of this government who overcharged them, drained them financially, forced them into a plea deal, and then threw them away for 10 to 15 years or more on a victimless crime. And what I mean by that is I met multiple people in there who, and it goes back to the Second Amendment, who maybe they caught a felony charge when they were young, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, and got caught with drugs or something. I'm not making an excuse for them. I'm not saying it's okay. But by and large, a lot of them had lived very clean lives after getting out and had their life together. I met a guy in there who was in his upper 60s, and he had caught a felony charge for drugs when he was in his 20s. But for 40 years, he'd never broken the law. He'd been perfectly fine. He gets pulled over something in a vehicle and has a gun in the car. and they arrest him for being a felon in possession of a gun, and he's in prison for 10 years. This is crazy that this is happening in our country right now, and so we need some massive criminal justice reform in this country.
Hey, man. Are you still there, Jake? Okay, I think Jake's gone. Let's go to New Mexico and talk to Mick. Mick, come on in.
Hey, Butch.
Yes, sir.
If y'all want to see that movie called DC Street Sorcery, .com. See why is what's wrong with Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's a good movie, by the way, Derek. DCStreetSorcery.com. Good movie. It explains a lot of things you might not understand or don't know yet.
I just wrote it down. I will try to take some time on the next time I'm traveling to watch that movie.
Yeah, it's worth watching. It really is. Anything else, Mick, very quickly?
Yeah, bunch of stuff that they pull on is called color law, or I think it's another term, BS law. That's not even legit. Especially when these judges say they can legislate. Look at when the prayer came out of school, they don't call it abortion, the ERA, and all this other nonsense BS. And that's what it is, pure BS. It does not, but it's not even constitutional.
No, it's not. And judges are legislating from the benches. The Supreme Court's done that several times. Good points, Mick. Anything else?
Yeah.
All right, Mick. Thanks, Carl. Appreciate it. Any comments on that, Derek?
I'll just agree with what you guys are saying here in terms of I agree 100% that we got these judges that are legislating from the bench. That's, once again, the law is started in either the House or the Senate and has to pass both chambers and then be signed by the executive. And we got to get back to the Constitution. We've gotten so far away from the Constitution right now that's what's allowing all these other things that's causing issues in our country to happen. We've got to get back to the Constitution.
Well, we got to get rid of some of these executive orders also. The fact, now, I understand there are cases that
100%
had to be. But these things are unconstitutional to sign 8 and 10, 12, 20 at a time. And the Congress, nobody in Congress I know of questions the fact the president's doing that. He's ruling as a dictator by signing a so-called law, an executive order. That's not law at all, but no one questions that. Not the courts, not the legislature, not anybody. That's really sad.
It is very sad, and it's a completely unconstitutional. It doesn't matter who's doing it or what for what purpose. It doesn't matter. I agree with you 100%. The executive orders have got to stop. And if I was ever to be president, I will never run for president, for clarification. But if I ever was, the first thing I would do is I would have one executive order that says all previous executive orders are null and void, and no one can ever make another executive order.
All right. Okay. We're down about the last minute and a half here. Give the folks again your contact information and what somebody might want to do to help.
Yeah, you can go to our website, evansforwv.com. And once again, that's evansforwv.com. And you can go there on our homepage. You can learn more about our campaign. You can click the button to donate if you wish to do so. Join our team to volunteer. And if you don't want to do those things, then you can add us to your prayer list. This is spiritual warfare. We need all the prayers we can get.
Amen.
So thank you guys for listening. God bless you guys.
I'll be in touch with you, Derek. God bless, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Pastor. Have a good night.
You too, folks. I'll see you in the office tomorrow. Have a great night. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.